This morning we're in Luke 19. For a good number of weeks now, we've been talking about the parables that Jesus gave. And in the first lesson, we mentioned the fact that over one-third of the Lord's teaching while he was on the earth was done in parables. And so it was a vital way that the Lord used to teach people the things that he wanted them to know about the approaching kingdom and other things of like nature. In Luke 19, beginning with verse 1, we're told that Jesus was in Jericho, and there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a little short fella, and he climbed up in a sycamore tree so that when Jesus came along, he could see him. Come on in and so Zacchaeus climbed up in the sycamore tree because of his stature, so he could get a good view of the Lord. And when Jesus came along that way, he looked up and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to go to your house today." And there's hardly a child in the assembly, of course, but what couldn't tell the story. And so Zacchaeus came down. The Lord went to his house and ate with him. And the interesting thing was that Zacchaeus was a chief publican. He was one of these head men who was collecting taxes for the Roman government and taking them from his own people. And so he was a hated fellow, all the publicans were. And when the Lord went home to eat with him, then the people began to murmur and they criticized Jesus and they said, "Look, this fellow is eating with publicans and sinners." And then the Lord in Luke 19 and verse 10 pointed out, after he had said that salvation had come to that man's house that day, then he said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, we begin with verse 11 of Luke 19. "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable unto them, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should appear immediately. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said to them, 'Occupy till I come.' But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, 'We will not have this man to rule over us.' And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded those servants to be called unto him, and to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, 'Thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, 'Well, thou good servant, thou hast been faithful in a very, very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, 'Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. Another came, saying, 'Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest where thou layest not down, and reapest that thou sowest not.' And he said unto him, 'Out of thine own mouth I will judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking that up that which I laid not down, and reaping that which I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money to the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it them that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that every one that hath shall be to him shall be given, and from him that hath not even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should rule over them, bring them hither and slay them before me." He's on his way to Jerusalem. And on his way, stops in Jericho, has this encounter with Zacchaeus that we noticed a moment ago. And then came the parable. But in the reading, in verse 11, we're told exactly why the parable was given. Number one, because he was nigh to Jerusalem. And number two, because they thought that the kingdom of God would appear immediately. As a result of these two things, then the Lord taught this particular parable. Some weeks back, we talked about the parable of the talents. You remember over in Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 14. And sometimes people confuse these two parables and think they're the same. But there are just a number of things about them that are altogether different. In the first place, one was delivered in Jericho, the one today was delivered in Jericho, and the other was delivered on the Mount of Olives, right near Jerusalem. And then the second thing, this one today was delivered before the Lord entered Jerusalem. The other one, the parable of the talents, was delivered 3 days later, while he was there during the last week of his life. In the parable of the pounds today, there was a multitude that heard it, But in the parable of the talents, a more restricted group, more of the inner circle, was taught the parable of the talents. And then there was a difference in the value of what he gave each one. In the parable of the pounds today, there were 10 servants, and to each one of them he gave 1 pound. Each man received the same thing. Over in the parable of the talents, there were 3 servants. One received 5 talents, 1 2, and 1 1. And then there was a difference in the value. The pound that he gave to each one of these 10 servants in the parable today was worth about $17 or $20, between $17 and $20. But the talent of Matthew 25, the scholars say, if it was a talent of silver, was worth at least $1,000 just in silver. The one talent worth $1,000. So a big difference there. And certainly a difference in lesson is being taught. In the parable of the talents, back in Matthew 25, the Lord is saying that your responsibility is equal to your ability. He gave the talents according to every man's several ability. And so the talent was not the ability, it was given in accordance with the ability that each one had. So responsibility was meted out according to ability. But in this particular parable, there is a different lesson being taught. And I want us to observe the lesson today from Luke 19. The basis of the story, a nobleman was preparing to go into a far country and be gone for a period of time. And while he was gone, he was going to receive a kingdom. He was going to be made a king. He was going to be given subjects and a rule authority over these subjects. And then after having received that authority, that kingdom, he was going to come back. The second thing about it, that before he left to go and get the kingdom, he called his servants in, called 10 servants, 10 slaves, the American Standard says, called those in, and he gave each one of them a pound, something worth between $17 and $20. And he said to each one of these 10 people, you occupy, the King James, the New American Standard, you do business till I come back. Here's your responsibility, you use it now till I get back. He left to go to the far country to receive the kingdom. And after he left, the citizens of the place where he was living, the nobleman, they sent an ambassador. They sent a delegation. And to make it clear that this man who had gone to get the kingdom and then was going to come back, we don't want that fellow to rule over us. And then the nobleman comes back in the story. He returns from that long trip, having received the kingdom. And so then he called the servants in, the 10 of them, to give an account of how they'd lived and how they'd taken care of their responsibilities. And this one fellow that had been given a pound, all of them had been given a pound, but one of them, when he was called in, said, my pound has gained 10 pounds. It's increased that much. And here is what I have for you now. The one who had received a pound, was called in another one, and he said, I've increased mine 5 pounds, and here is what I have for you. Then a third fellow was called in, and he had to give an account of the way he had used his 1 pound, and he said, I took my pound and hid it in a napkin, hid it in a handkerchief, the New American Standard says, and here it is, and I brought it back to you just like it was. And the reason I did this was because I know what kind of a fellow you are. You're an austere man. You're a harsh fellow. And you'll go out and you'll pick things up that you haven't laid down. And you will reap where you haven't sowed any seed. You're just that kind of a fellow. And I knew what kind of a fellow you were. And so I just took the thing and I hid it and I brought it back to you. And here is what I've given to you. And the nobleman condemned that third servant. To the first one who gained 10 pounds, he said, well done. I'm going to make you rule over 10 cities. To the fellow who had gained 5 out of his 1, you've done great. I'm going to make you rule over 5 cities. But to this one fellow, he condemned him and he said, take the pound away from him and give it to the man that hath 10 pounds. And somebody standing there said, well, Lord, he's already got 10 pounds. And the Lord said, the ones that have, to those people shall be given, but to the fellow that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And then the last thing in the story is that the nobleman, when he's returned from that long trip, having received the kingdom, then he called all those citizens in before him who had sent that ambassador, that delegation, to say, we don't want this man to rule over us when he comes back. And he said, you bring those servants in here and you kill them, you slay them in my presence. And that's the parable. Now the Lord had something in mind. And we noticed a moment ago that the thing that made it necessary, number one, they thought that the kingdom of God would immediately appear and Jesus was close to Jerusalem. And so he told the story to them. They thought the kingdom would immediately appear, which brings to our minds the fact that even the Lord's closest apostles did not understand the nature of the kingdom while the Lord was teaching on the earth. You know, it's amazing. John the Baptist came preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And then you remember that when Jesus came on the scene, the very same type of teaching was done. Repent, the gospel is at hand, or the kingdom is at hand. And in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, Jesus went about all those areas preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Here's the thing that is to rule your lives once the kingdom is established. But in all that teaching about the kingdom, they never understood the nature of it. And I suppose we'd say that it was maybe understandable. They'd never known anything but an earthly kingdom. What did they ever come in contact with? But kings who ruled on this earth and had authority and would punish their servants and so on if they didn't obey. That's the only thing they knew. And so when the Lord talked about a kingdom, that's the image they got in their mind. It's going to be an earthly rule. Jesus is going to rule on this earth like other kings. And we're going to be a people free under Jesus. And He's going to be our king down here on this earth. That's all they could get in their minds. You remember Matthew 18 and verse 1? They came to Jesus and they said, Master, who will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And that false idea is there, you know. And so Jesus took a little child and said in the midst of them and said, except you be converted and become as this little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 and 21, the mother of Zebedee's children, the mother of James and John, she came to Jesus and she said, Lord, I want you to grant that these my two sons may sit, one on the right hand, one on the left hand, when you come in your kingdom. You know, all she had in mind was this idea of an earthly kingdom. And here somebody's going to be the minister of defense and the minister of education and all such as this. And I want my boys to have top jobs in the kingdom. A misunderstanding altogether. And then you recall in Luke chapter 22, a little further over from 19. But here, there was strife among the apostles. They were actually arguing among themselves about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to have this and I'm going to be that in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus again warned them of their attitude. You can't even be a part of it unless you change your attitude. And so right here, Jesus knew that they had this misunderstanding about the kingdom of heaven. And so He said, there's a nobleman. And he went to a far country and he got his kingdom. He's not going to stay down here and get it. He's going to go away and he's going to get the kingdom. And then he's going to come back. And the second thing that motivated the parable was the fact that he was close to Jerusalem. And you know, as you read the New Testament, you come up to the last week in the Lord's life. And you can feel the tensions rising. He's born over here, and then at the age of 12, you have him coming to Jerusalem. You remember his parents and being lost, and he's teaching in the synagogue with the doctors and the lawyers. And then you go on to the age of 30, and then when he's baptized by John the Baptist. No public teaching at all, except here at the age of 12. In the Lord's life. But then at the age of 30, he begins 3.5 years of public preaching or public ministry, as we say, after his baptism at the hand of John. And then you come up to the last week when the Lord's going to be crucified on the cross 1 week later. And right here in Luke 19, he's right there. He's out here about 20 miles northeast of Jerusalem, but right in the same chapter. In Luke 19, he comes from Jericho, and he comes to the city limits of Jerusalem, and they get a donkey, and they put their clothes on and put things in the road and so on, and Jesus rides in a triumphal way into the city of Jerusalem, and they cry, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And you feel the tensions rising, and they believe that right now the time has come for the Lord to set up his kingdom. He's going to rule, and we're going to be free of the Roman dominion. We're going to be under King Jesus. And so he was near to Jerusalem, and so he gave the parable. He knew what they were expecting, and they were expecting a death on the cross. They were expecting a triumphant Jesus to gain a kingdom and to rule over national Israel. And so he said, this nobleman went to a far country, and he got the kingdom, and he came back home. Jesus is the nobleman. There's no doubt about that in the parable. Jesus is that one who went to a far country to get the kingdom. And the point has to be seen so clearly that Jesus did not establish his kingdom while he was personally here on the earth. And when it was established, it was not the same nature as these people were looking for. Over in the book of Daniel, if you're making any notes, you'll want to jot down Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Daniel said, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. We're in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Daniel is prophesied over there in the land of Babylon, more than 400 years before Jesus Christ was born. Daniel is prophesied of the coming kingdom and of the Messiah who is going to rule over that kingdom. And so Daniel said, I saw one like the Son of Man came to the Ancient of Days in the clouds of heaven. And you see Jesus after his death and ascension and 40 days from the earth arising and going away in the clouds and going up to where God is. And Daniel said, I saw that. And I saw him approaching the Ancient of Days. And then there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom. That's when it was given to him. Not when he left the God of heaven and came down here. That's not when he got his kingdom. He got his kingdom when he went back up there and was glorified at the right hand of the Father. Then he was given rule. And then he had subjects and people who had respected the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that dominion that Jesus receives is over all nations and people and languages. All people, nations, and languages. Not a national kingdom like the Israelite nation, over everybody in the whole world who would submit to the authority of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then that kingdom is not going to be a temporary thing, but an everlasting kingdom that shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And so when you get on the right track in Bible understanding, everything fits together perfectly. And Daniel's prophecy of Jesus going back to the Ancient of Days to get his kingdom corresponds perfectly with the parable that Jesus gave of the nobleman going to a far country, there receiving the kingdom, and then he comes back. As you look at the last week of the life of Jesus, he rides into Jerusalem on that donkey, and people thinking that now's the time, but then when he gets into the city, then the Jews, or the evil rulers, the people, stir up the Jewish nation, and they clamor for the death of Jesus. And so they eventually hang him on the cross. And there he dies. And then he's taken down from the cross, of course, as all of us remember. And 3 days and three nights he's in the tomb. And then he's raised by the power of God. And then for 40 days, according to Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, Jesus remains on the earth after his resurrection from the tomb. Then after that 40-day period, then he goes back to the Ancient of Days, back to heaven. He goes on that far journey in order to receive the kingdom. Now look with me in Acts chapter 1 and watch the Lord talk about these matters. Acts chapter 1 would come right at the very end of Matthew, right at the very end of Mark, right at the very end of Luke and John. Then you come to Acts 1. It just carries on the story of the four Gospels as the four Gospels close. And so Jesus showed himself, in verse 3 of Acts 1, Jesus showed himself alive after his passion, after his death, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, these apostles. But he said, you wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you've heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you apostles, will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. When therefore they were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the time of the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus whom you've seen go into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. Jesus went back to heaven there to receive the kingdom. Well, he's gone back into heaven, and for about 10 days the apostles waited in the city of Jerusalem. And then that brings you to Acts chapter 2. And now the promise of Acts chapter 1. John indeed baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And a few days later, when those apostles were waiting in Jerusalem, Jesus back in heaven, the Holy Spirit came down on Pentecost Day upon those 12 apostles. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And a mighty crowd of people came together. Masses of people came together when they heard about what was going on. And then Peter stood up with the 11 and preached for the first time the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus as an accomplished fact. And he pointed out to these people that the very Jew that had been crucified on the cross a few days before was indeed the Son of God. And in verse 37 of Acts 2, when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart. And they cried to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." And as many as gladly received the word were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they praised God, verse 47 of Acts 2. They praised God and had favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The kingdom's going to come. I'm going to get the kingdom. I'm going to go back to my Father, into that far country. And 10 days after he went back, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ was established, and the church and the kingdom are one and the same thing. Jesus rules over every man, woman, young man, and young lady who's obeyed the gospel of Christ. And that's the only reason they're members of the church, is because they submit to the Lord's authority. Jesus rules. He's supreme in their lives. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. The church is the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. It wasn't established by the Lord down here on the earth. It was established by the Lord up in heaven, sending the Holy Spirit and having the gospel preached that people might obey it, submit to the authority of Jesus, and thus become citizens in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's trying to get these people to see he's not going to build something down here, some earthly thing, some earthly kingdom here, but he's going to go back to his Father and then send the Spirit so the apostles could preach the truth of God. And then a spiritual kingdom is going to be established where Jesus rules in the hearts of men through the teachings that he's done in the New Testament. There are other lessons in the parable. He called these 10 servants in, and he gave every one of them 1 pound, the same for every man. What do you suppose it is that he gave each one of those individuals? I think song number 90 in the songbook. States what I believe to be the truth about the matter. Swift we're turning life's daily pages. Swift of the hours are changing to years. How are we using God's golden moments? Shall we reap glory? Shall we reap tears? Millions are groping without the gospel. Quickly they'll reach eternity's night. Shall we set idly as they rush onward? Haste, let us hold up Christ the true light. Souls that are precious, souls that are dying, while we rejoice our sins are forgiven. Did he not also die for those lost ones? Then let us point the way into heaven. And then the chorus. Into our hands the gospel is given. Into our hands is given the light. Haste, let us carry God's precious message, guiding the erring back to the right. Gave every one of them one thing, and every one the same thing. And every person that obeys the gospel of Christ, whatever else may have been included, I know this is so, that into every person's hand to obey the gospel of Jesus is the responsibility of teaching the gospel of Christ to other people. And someday we're going to be called into account by the Lord when he comes back for the way we've used the treasure that he's placed into our hands. Into our hands the treasure is given, and we're responsible for it. We're going to be called into account for the way we shape it. I recognize that the ability to shape will differ from person to person. And I think that's brought out. Here's one fellow that's got a pound. And he's called in to give an account of his stewardship, and he said it's gained 10. Another fellow called in that was given 1, he said it's gained 5. And that seems to me to indicate that the Lord is saying to all of us, there's a difference in our ability. And you may be able to do more or less than me. Me more or less than you. But the lesson that I need to learn, and you need to learn, is to use whatever ability and talent that we have in teaching the Word, sharing with others, to the fullest extent of our ability. It's interesting that while the Lord was gone away, while the nobleman was gone, that here some people would send an ambassage, a committee, to him, up there, to say, we don't want that man to rule over us. And it just brings to mind the fact that as we preach and teach the gospel of Christ, everybody's not going to obey it. And he's pointedly, very pointedly in the parable, talking about the Jewish people. They're the ones that hung him on the cross and rejected the Messiah. And they're the very ones who, in the early preaching of the gospel of Christ, few of them obeyed, but in the main, they declined obedience. And then as time went on, the number even grew smaller and smaller who obeyed the gospel from the ranks of Jewish people. And today, the same is true, that the Jews and a lot of other unbelievers are sending the message to heaven, we don't want Jesus to rule over us. And I don't care how much preaching is done, the people with hearts like that, they're not going to be turned to the Lord. They've made up their mind, they're going to live like they want to live, and they're not going to be in obedience to Jesus Christ. And they've sent the message ahead, we're not going to have it in our own lives. But in every community, there are a lot of people around who want to serve, who want to do right. And there are a lot of people that haven't yet learned that they can be citizens in the kingdom of God, that they can be a part of God's family. They can be members of the church and have their sins washed away in the blood of Jesus. And they'd do it if they learned of it. And here's where our responsibility comes in. We need to teach people the truth of God. Something that we've done repeatedly and others have done on the blackboard. But let me do it again because I'm confident that it's so. In the Great Commission, in Matthew 28, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them. And so there's two teachings done in the Great Commission. First of all, the teaching is done to those that have never obeyed the gospel, that they might learn of the Lord and want to obey Him and express that confidence in Jesus by being immersed for remission of sins, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But then the second teaching is of those who have obeyed the gospel and they're to be taught. And when we obey, we don't know everything. There's a lot we haven't learned. Our knowledge may be very, very small of the things that we need to know. And so we have to be taught a lot more after we obey the gospel of Christ. But you know what? He said, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so these who have been baptized are to be taught, and those are to be taught to observe everything that the Lord had taught the apostles. And so the Great Commission comes down to all of us. We are baptized into Christ, and then we're taught after we're baptized. And one of the things we're taught is to continue in the things that the Lord taught the apostles to do. And one thing they were taught was to go out and teach the gospel of Christ. And so upon every one of us, on our shoulders, resides the responsibility to preach the gospel of the Lord to the extent of our ability. And our ability may not be in the pulpit, may not be in the classroom. It may be over the backyard fence or having some neighbors in around the kitchen table or talking on the job a little or whatever. But we need to share the gospel of Christ. And it seems to me the Lord is teaching in the parable that if we don't, we cannot be saved. We've got to do the best we can in teaching the Lord's Word. But before we close, let me suggest to you that Jesus in the parable said that He's going to come back. He's going to go away, receive the kingdom, then He's going to return. Let me suggest to you, and quickly first of all, that the Bible nowhere teaches that He's going to ever set foot on this earth again. He's going to come the second time, but not back to this earth. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, the Apostle Paul dealt with the problem with the church in Thessalonica. And he says in verse 16 of chapter 4, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven, that's the second coming, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so the Lord's coming in the clouds of heaven, and we're going to hear the trumpet, and the dead in Christ are going to be raised first. That is, before the righteous are caught up, the dead in Christ are going to be raised first. Not in relation to the other wicked dead, but in relation to the righteous people, the righteous dead are going to be raised up before the righteous living go up. And then together, the righteous dead and the righteous living are going to meet the Lord in the air. And so they'll ever be with the Lord. Jesus Christ is coming back. and his own are going to be received by the Lord. But when he comes back, the Lord is coming to punish the wicked. You remember, Jesus said you in the parable, the nobleman said, "You bring those people before me and I'll slay them in my presence." Indicating so clearly the idea of punishment at the return of the nobleman. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the apostle said to you who are troubled, rest with us in verse 7. Rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his holy angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and those that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. He's coming back to claim his own. We'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. But he's coming to punish the wicked at the same time. You remember Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 beginning? The Lord shall come and sit on the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he'll separate them, one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. The sheep on the right hand, and the goats on the left. And then shall he say to those on the right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." But to those on the left hand, he'll say, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and for his angels." Jesus is coming back. There's no doubt about that. And incidentally, in John 14, Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And I tell you, brethren, that it seems to me that when you understand John 14, that you have added assurance in the second coming of Jesus as you appreciate the fact that the church of Jesus Christ is here. Jesus said, "I'm going to go away and prepare a place for you." Not heaven. Well, he said there are mansions there already. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. That is, for you to prepare yourselves to come. I'm going to establish the church. And if I go away, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Jesus went back to heaven and he established the church. He prepared the place for people to live in while they're here as citizens of the Lord. And then one day he's coming back to take those faithful home to himself. And one more passage. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In discussing the second coming of Jesus, Paul said in verse 22, "In Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after the day that are Christ at his coming. And then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put out all rule, authority, and power, because he must reign till he have put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Jesus Christ is coming back. And when he does, then he's going to deliver the kingdom. That's the church. Deliver the kingdom over to God. He's not coming to establish his kingdom. He's coming to deliver it to God. And those who are members of it are handed over to God as his faithful people to be saved in heaven eternally. I think the parable of the pounds in Luke 19 is an encouraging parable. But it does lay down our responsibilities. Fearful responsibilities, and yet they can be met by each one of us. And we need to remember what a responsibility it is. And so the Lord reigns today up in heaven. And the place where we can have salvation has been prepared by the Lord. And the scheme of redemption has been revealed. We know what to do in order to be a part of the family of God. And the question now is, does the Lord rule in your life today? These people in Luke 19, when the Lord went away, then they sent a committee of them to say, "We don't want Jesus to rule." And if you're here and you haven't obeyed the gospel yet, you're in the capital age, you understand what the New Testament teaches. And you haven't obeyed the gospel. It is the fact that you sent the same message up to heaven. "I don't want Jesus to rule my life." If you did want him to rule, you'd obey his gospel. Be a citizen of the kingdom. And that's not something that can be turned around. It's not a decision that you're wrong. You can change your mind. You can make up your mind. The Lord's going to ruin your life. That's what we want you to do today, is to make that decision. Because I'm going to be a Christian. And Jesus is going to be my king. And what the New Testament teaches is going to be my law of which I live. You have to make that decision for yourself. We want you to make it. We want you to be a part of this kingdom.
and look forward with joy for the time when the Lord comes back. Remember the whole group that's faithful over to God.